we talk about many local content criticalities, and local here means typically two things. First, the model we will look at somehow as local interaction. And I will mainly talk about a condo problem here, but it can be a general scenario of other things. And the second aspect of the locality is applicability. My applicability here will be to macroscopic systems and not to every channel. So somehow it's less a macroscopic system than macroscopic system. So in the last years, we made many proposals to attack new sort of a quantum critical point at the macroscopic scale and how to sort of measure it. And here, first, I will talk about a specific model. So the first model that I will look in detail is about applicability of the so-called Bose-Fermi condo model. And so I will do that in a great detail. And here, and if I have time, I will also talk about new quantum, let's say, macroscopic critical points, like, for instance, how to reach either in two-channel condo models and to observe it in a real macroscopic system, and also what we discovered recently, how to measure large symmetry like functions, SU4, on the ground. So it's typically the plan of my talk here. So let me start typically with this part one here.
So for the part with part one, encourage to ask questions. Okay. What's the definition of local quantum criticality?
Okay, so for me, local quantum criticality is what I have defined here. So I will look at a model first with local interaction. So you have a local moment, and the conditioned electron bus interact at one point. Or, so for me, it's what I call local. The main interaction part is at one point.
It's local in real space, right?
Yes, in a real space. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I will start with this Bose-Fermi condo model. So what I want to remind you at the beginning is simple story, like the result from an epsilon expansion, just to see what the phase diagram looks like from epsilon. When I will tell you an exactly solvable point that we found recently in the project of Neurongi and Walter Hofstetter, we found an exactly solvable point, and she's, so it will be the case where bosons are ohmic, and I will tell you what it means, and the coupling is intuitive Ising. You have a local spin and should be Ising-like. And the magic story is that we found an exactly solvable point, and it is, I mean, precisely what we need to address the question for what I call the noisy macroscopic cubic. Okay, so I will start with this main part here. So let me remind you, probably you all know, but it's good to start with at the beginning.
We have an experimentalist present. Yes. Not all of us know everything.
No, but I will go very slowly, so you have the time to work out on you.
I'm from Florida. I was awake at 4 this morning. So I'm already tired. Yes.
Okay. So let's go with this phase diagram from epsilon expansion. So what I saw, so this is typically from gravel and then metal. So typically, I start with a model for now, it has a boson coupled to a local body. And you will see that the phase diagram has a lot of values, fixed points and very nice fixed points. So boson plus security field.
Excuse me, they just said the impurity model, they also impose self-consistency on the impurity model.
Yes, but this is just an LG approach and very simple approach. So you do not need, the only thing you need is to write your interaction with the boson. So let's say you have a parameter of coupling gamma alpha. So this is a coupling. And the interaction is quite strange because you couple the alpha component, which can be x, y, or z, to a boson mass. Alpha. So you can have three bosonic paths here. And the important point is that the correlation function in time of this bosonic correlation function, this is the main point. It's constant here, delta alpha beta, and 2 minus epsilon. So the case, the epsilon equals zero, it's what people call the only case, it's, let's say, a usual magnum in my sense, so epsilon equals zero is only...
Sorry. Too quick.
I'm really dumb here.
Yes.
So these are vector bosons, right? This
yes.
is vector field.
You have three bases, yeah.
This is a free vector field, though.
Yes.
Can you write down phi part and the Hamiltonian?
Okay.
Only phi field.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, but let's go a little bit slowly.
Okay, so what I want to say is that here you have a correlation function in boson like that, okay? So if you Fourier transform that and you look at local actions for your boson, it should be something d omega 1 minus epsilon phi alpha omega phi alpha minus omega.
And where do we take this from?
It is a starting point.
Yeah, but what it describes in reality?
I will tell you after.
So the physical meaning of this field.
No.
Okay, so imagine you have an itinerant magnet that's at or near a quantum critical point.
Huh.
So suppose it's your Hertz ferro or anti-ferromagnet. And you have an impurity.
Mm-hmm.
And then what interacts with the impurity, if you forget for a second about the free electrons.
In fact, this is not beyond the core. We can't do this. You can make a comment from down here. But that's not
okay. So what interacts with the impurity is the local magnetization.
Yes.
And if you look at, within the Hertz theory, if you look at the correlation, temporal correlation function of local magnetization, it will be a fraction both for Hertz ferromagnet and for a Hertz antiferromagnet. For a ferromagnet, it will be omega to 1/3.
Mm.
For an antiferromagnet, if I remember correctly, 1/2.
Yes.
That's Larkin Melnick.
Yes,
basically. That's basically what about quantum critical point?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the local
and it's and in this approach, there is no feedback effect of the impurity on the path.
Exactly. So, okay, but
there is no free Hamiltonian in the sense. It's a forcing field that has certain correlation problems.
No, but phi is a free field. It's an action for the free field. When gamma is equal to zero, I still have free bosons.
Phi is an external field that has certain temporal correlation.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. So this is a local moment, okay? And you couple it to some bosonic bath. And this is somehow the local reaction at the impurity spin. So you have the integrated or the external, the space, the degrees of freedom. And I will show you that this kind of action can happen in many, many, many systems. So it's what I want. But first I want to start with this Hamiltonian, and then I will tell you to what it can apply. So,
if it were Hertz theory, there are spatial correlations, and here everything is local.
Yes, so it's what I call by local quantum
mechanics. It's an input, but
what interacts with the impurity is local component, phi x equal to zero.
Which means integrated over Q.
Exactly, from Andre, this is...
Yeah,
this one has. Okay, Andre, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so now we all agree. Okay. Maybe I should have said that this is x equals 0, so delta x here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the phase diagram that Zara and Denver found, so you made an energy expansion in this parameter, I mean epsilon. And what you found is, for instance, so the energy flow for both of you is going to have them. For instance, they all vary with this parameter epsilon, and then you have correction gx, gy, plus gt, plus higher order.
Can I interrupt for a second? I don't want to interrupt you too much, but still just understand. If I take Hertz model, and I do it, say, in dimension 2n larger, then if I take really Q integrated phi, it doesn't go as fractional power of omega, you get maximum log in two dimensions.
Yes.
Why have to integrate over components one dimension less? How it works? Suppose I take simple Hertz model, which actual phi, whatever.
I will show you a simple theorem where it's like that. So for instance, you take a two-dimensional itinerant ferromagnet.
Okay.
You have an acoustic magnon branch. You look at the spectral function, and it's typically, for instance, omega at some power which is less than 1. So this is an application, for instance.
You get 1 over q squared plus whatever function of omega. You integrate over q to q.
Yes.
You get log out of this. Integral q to q divided by q squared plus something.
Okay, but...
So
what I want to say is that I will look at a case which is, for instance, one-dimensional.
Yeah, that story is different.
Yeah, transmission line. So this is my applicability, one-dimensional transmission line. And so this is my application. So for me, it will be always epsilon going to zero for my applicability in my system. But she now, so at the moment you're right, me, I do not have a realistic development with the epsilon finite. But she now and Stefan Kirchner, they have a proposal to test this subatomic, so epsilon finite in ferromagnetic. So, for instance, 200 coupled to.
Then I'm completely lost because again,
we can just postpone this and just go through now the theory and then come to the application.
Yes. No, but that's a good point. So, but it's very good.
If it's a log, it's
only
equal
1.
No. Oh, if it's log, it's only equal 1. Yeah, I agree.
So that's the nails and stuff for it, it's only equal 1. Mm-hmm. So if it's in 3D, you have another epsilon. So
in 2D, epsilon equals 1. Which means no power of frequency of that.
Okay, but that's a very good point. At the moment myself, I do not know how to build a nice model with local interaction and epsilon equals to 0 and 7 finite. So that's a good point. So if you change x and y or n, y, and z, so you have the same scaling equation.
So is this G not the same as the gamma?
Yeah, what is G?
Oh, sorry. G mu is gamma squared. So G mu is gamma mu squared. And what you find is typically this state gathering from second order, energy approach. But again, it's just an energy approach here. So what you find is this is Gx, dy, and dz. So you see that let's start with a simple point. If you start with Gx equal dy, this is stable at some point. And because you have a negative sign, what's going on, at some point you will have a negative sign here that they call XY boson because it's the two bases which spring into it. So somehow this is an example of multi-channel. What is stable is that if you start on that line, you go to Gx very large, so this could be the usual one bottom which springs in three, the same here, the same here, and okay, so this is unstable as soon as you go that way or that way. And now if you put a small delta G, which is Gz minus G perp, you can have in three dimensions stable SU2 at some point, where exactly you start with the three components which are the same. Okay. So this is SU2, what they call SU2 boson, and then it becomes unstable again. So the main message of that is that it's very hard to have a multi-channel boson problem. Of course, we all know that for fermions it is the same, but more importantly, the question then is how you describe those fixed points, like what they call SU2 and XY boson fixed points. And second, it's what Andre said, to which a realistic system it could be applied. So this is a delicate question.
Gary, when you say it's a multi-channel boson problem, is it exactly the same exponent as a multi-channel or changed by your epsilon?
Oh, you see here it's not the usual multi-channel because it's phi x which springs sx, phi y which springs sy. So somehow it's different the component of the grid. It's not the usual canon. So the usual canon is you have, let's say, alpha which is 1 or 2. So this is phi. But so then the question is how you compute something at this fixed point. It's typically what you want to say. So from this perturbative approach,
it's not multi-channel. There are only two channels of fermions which spring the conductivity.
No, here for instance, you have the two bosonic bases. You see that Gx and Gy grows at some intermediate fixed point. So it means that if you want, the bus Fx and the bus Fy screens in 3D. Okay? So somehow you have two buses coupled to the same impurity here. Mm-hmm. And here you have three buses coupled to the same impurity. So somehow it's a version of a multi-channel bosonic problem. And here it's one channel because it's only one channel. Okay, but the question is, what can you compute then? So if you do this LG approach, for instance, you can, as the SU2 fixed point, you can look at the scaling of this plot, and what you get, for instance, something like that. So of course it depends on this parameter sort of an epsilon, but again it starts to be a rigorous because this is an energy approach. So I mean severe such death, Matthias Bochner for instance, and other people, Antoine George, etc. So Matthias Bochner they develop this large N plus NTA, so it's another route to get, so this is for instance the PNLP and PNL 2000. So it's another route to have this exponent, but again it's far to be the SP2 fixed point. So now to my case, I will start with a simple case. It seems simple. I will start with a case where epsilon is going to zero. I will show you that it corresponds to a very nice physical problem. But then what I will do is to add a fermionic path. So you see that for boson coupled to the same spin, it's not as far as simple because you get fixed point, but it's hard to add them into great detail. And to my surprise, it's very strange that no one tried exact method like numerical RG, because I thought that at least you could say something rigorous about this exponent, but I was surprised that no other method were trying to look at this kind of problem. So now let's complicate a little the problem and add the fermionic path. So the fermion, let's assume that you have a S wave scattering with impurity, so you can go back to this one dimensional representation of condensator. For fermion, you have Dirac fermion, let's say. And let's call lambda this condensation. So now you have this. At x equals 0. Yes, so you saw in the time data. So if you simply make, if you start with SU2 boson, and so if you add now the boson part, so it was gamma alpha. So first of all, if you make a simple check, so you write energy equation.
And is there a physical reason why interaction with bosons is anisotropic, interaction with fermions is isotropic?
Ah, okay. Let's call it lambda.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Lambda alpha beta. And then I will develop. I put alpha beta above. Okay. Lambda.
Yeah,
okay. So if you do that, just a check. So let's start with the isotropic coupling graph.
Karen, it's a 3D condo, it's not a Lutzinger equipment.
Yeah. This is normal family needs. Okay. I just use the S-wave scattering. I don't know, but it's nothing complicated.
Won't it Dirac on this important edges?
No, nothing. It just...
It says Dirac fermions.
Simply fermions.
It's simply fermions.
Oh, fermions. Good. No.
So Dirac means linearized near the fermion surface, linear dispersion. Okay.
It's a 1G.
Yes, but if you have exception, it's not. Okay, so if you do that for the isotropic case, so lambda.
Do you really mean lambda alpha beta, or did you mean lambda coupled to the vector indices?
Sigma.
I think
lambda coupled to the vector indices.
Yes.
Not the spin.
Lambda mu sigma has indices.
Sigma alpha beta has some index alpha.
sigma I for that and half seven years.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Yeah, the mu and that S Q and the.
Okay, so then if I look maybe at that, what I get is some, again, so if the boson bus is bigger, so J again is gamma squared. I will flow to this SU2 bose. Then it's, this is the usual SU2 formula. So if I start with J larger than gamma, what you find is here, the fermion bus dominates, you find here, and in the middle you find again an intermediate crystal that is called SU2 bose fermion on the model. So this is stable if you start G equal lambda, if you start here it's stable, but again.
See, lambda fixed point doesn't go to a finite lambda, I think.
Yeah. This is very large.
Just to clarify, SU2, this SU2 point corresponds to all the G's equal, therefore it's only one G, which is all three of them, right?
So this is the first term, but maybe this diagram is not too. Well, okay, this is quite okay. So the main message that I want to say is that if you start with, so here is J equal gamma square equal lambda, you stay on that line, and again you get an intermediate spot from RG. And if the bosonic bus dominates, you will flow to the screening by the boson, and if the thermal dominates, you will flow to the usual condo model. So it's clear from that model that you have a competition between the bosonic bus and the thermionic bus to screen the infinity speed.
This is for a specific epsilon, isn't it?
Okay, so this is a good point, and I'm not allowed. So all the fixed points here, the G critical, gamma critical, they are all proportional to epsilon. Mm-hmm. You're right, so you need this epsilon finite to see this physics here. Yeah. Okay, so this is again. So what I want to do now is to start maybe with a simple case and to show you that it has some nice applicability and to show that you can have an exact solution of the Bose-Fermier condo model and then discuss the applicability for mesoscopic system and see what we can compute, what we can observe.
Could you say a few words about the physical properties of these two finite epsilon fixed points?
You know, if you look at the staging points in the equation, so you can have some for instance, exponents, like.
So they're all power law correlated,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes. So for instance, if I look at power law curve versus temperature, what you get is T, 1 over T, 1 over epsilon. Both at this fixed point.
Okay.
So you can have some exponent.
Yeah.
But, so somehow it proves that you have a finite, it's not purely, it's
yeah. What's the difference between the two fixed points? One is Bose and one is Bose Fermi. So
here, lambda goes to zero.
Right, but you still have the same temperature dependence.
Just for time. Because
yes.
This is a general theorem that people observe, but I do not want to go into detail. If you have a impurity spin coupled to two buses, so here, you have a subonic bus. So it means that the local action is omega divided by 1 over T, this pattern. And fermion, you know that in 1D, if you look at the local problem, you accept that you have extra extraction, you can go to 1D fermion, and you can bosonize. So this is like the omic bus. And the spectral function of fermion would be just omega. Okay? But what is nice is that if you, but this is what we found from a numerical RG, for instance, and many people found that, if you couple two different basses, boson basses, with different dynamics, for certain quantities like chi, it seems that at the critical point, the one that dominates is always the one with the exponent to be smaller, so longer correlation function in time.
But so, can I ask this question? In your one-dimensional example,
yes,
you started with epsilon equal to zero.
Yeah, it's what I will do with z.
Right, just z. Which means that both are the same.
Exactly. But not the same coupling, it's what it will be.
But can you really show that epsilon even appears in the theory at some point?
No. By me, I have no epsilon. It will be epsilon equal to at the beginning.
Yes, sir. What I'm asking is this. You start with epsilon equal to zero.
Yes.
In which case you just set your fixed point is at zero.
Because this is a SU2 coupling and I will break this symmetry, so it will be different.
JC and gamma C both are order of epsilon.
Yes.
You start with a series that has epsilon equal to zero.
Yes.
Can you generate somehow epsilon in the series, or how it works?
Yes, but first you need to solve the problem at epsilon equals zero, and then to see if you can switch on the epsilon expansion. It's what you want to say?
Because you can either assume from the very beginning to have a supplement class and to study its properties. That's what these analyses are doing.
Yes.
Another question is there a way to get a supplement only out of the calculation? For one example would be to put an impurity in a ferromagnet close to critical point.
Or an
antiferromagnet is much more complicated actually.
And
then you get an omega to the 1/3. So it's 2/3 or something out of this calculation.
Then there was one dimension.
One D you can have for the integral theory. I mean, it's what I'm saying. But I do not want to make a distribution, but let's say that we start in 1D.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to compute nicely the spin correlation function.
Uh-huh.
So let's assume I start at x equals 0.
Uh-huh.
I look inside.
Yes.
So this I know. And so it has two parts. A 2 equals 0 part.
Mm-hmm.
So which decrease like 1 over 2 square, so this is oblique, plus 2k for let's say it can go to afternoon, and this decrease like with a smaller power, where k will, and this is smaller than 1.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were Fourier transform to that part, it's less than 1. So it would be epsilon, so if I Fourier transform that, it will be
Kero,
if I fully transform that. Yes, it's Kero.
Yeah.
And Kero is less than 1. So you see, with one dimensional spin density wave, it's somehow simple to get this subonic. And you can control that with the integer theory. So probably with, if you put magnetic impurities in a one-dimensional structure, and you have two bus because you have the Q or equal zero skin container and the Q or equal five, and this one is subomic, this one is subomic. So it could be such kind of application for, and this is a SU2, so it could be an applicability maybe to have this SU2 boson problem, because in 1D, so probably it could be one nice application. If you have 1D looking for liquid or spin density wave, and you have a spin, then you will have H interaction, which will be exactly. Where phi alpha, it would be the Q equals phi. Local Q equals phi component of the magnetization. Of magnetization. So in 1D, of course, it's quite simple to get subonic. But in
I think the question of Andre was, if you have an omic case where epsilon equals zero, how will you generate the anomalous exponent? in Chi or in all the quantities. Will you or will not you, and what is a
so what I, okay.
Or will you show us?
Yes, yes, of course. What I want to do now is to show you an exact solution for one particular Bolzano-Condorcet, and to show you it's exactly my applicability for my endoscopy. But what I want to say that if I take in my exponent, for instance, epsilon equal zero, I get one n over t. So maybe it tells us that it's a continuous, of course, PCD expense. But what I try to do now, maybe I should not say too much, but I try to generate for my sort of exactly a favorable point this epsilon expansion. And I think it's possible to rederive the exponent from this exactly favorable point, just to make a structure. But I've not done yet. Okay, so let's go to the main part of my thing. Let's go to what I want to look. Okay, so me, I will sound a little fancy, but then I will show you that it has some applicability. So my Hamiltonian is a following. So my Oscar Nicolau. What I will look at is for boson, this is very important, it's ohmic, so epsilon equals 0. Then the Hamiltonian is as follows. So the coupling, that I will write it in detail, but the coupling with fermion, it will be fancy because it will be only transverse. So it will be only the component lambda perpendicular, which will be coupled to the impurity. Whereas the coupling with the boson, it will be only Ising-like.
Let's check the rule of the game. Let's check the rule of the game.
Yes, and then I will show you why I look at that. But first I want to do something, and then I will show you that this model has some applicability. But you see that it works all the symmetry as possible. So, you could already see from what I said before that if you start with the epsilon equal zero, if I just take, so let's assume that you switch off lambda curve, what you get from the beginning that GZ would be not renormalized. So GZ not renormalized because the equation for GZ were GZ over the L, where L again is when you change, for instance, temperature, is epsilon gz, and here you have gx and gy equals 0. So if epsilon equals 0, it is a stable fixed point. So gz will not be renormalized if lambda curve equals 0.
G curve equals 0?
Yes.
Not lambda curve. If G curve is equal to 0, GZ is not renormalized, or
yes.
If lambda curve equals 0, GZ is not renormalized?
But I call it... This is G curve or lambda curve, it's the same.
The question is, on the right above the RG equation, the left thing is lambda curve equal to 0, GZ is not renormalized. That's
if lambda
curve... lambda.
Then...
That's
the question. But this didn't follow from any of your further calculations, you just told us so.
Yeah, because this comes from what I told you before.
No, what you had before was the G renormalization. Maybe you didn't write down the flow equation for including lambda. I just
for both G and
it's
lambda.
A very simple question. It has nothing scientific in it.
Okay. If the flow for GZ would be that one. So if I start with epsilon equals 0, and if I start at the lambda curve equals 0, it is stable. So
lambda.
Yes.
Okay.
So
sorry, do you have the full expression for the randomization of GZ in
yes.
the presence of lambda?
Yes. Of course.
GZ should be lambda.
So the full.
No, but we have lambda. We're looking at it. Yeah. In general, she's got lambda.
Not yet. So gamma is my g squared, so it should be gamma is... No, it's g which is gamma squared. So that's what I guess.
Yes.
And here you have a constant of the order of 1. And for GD, you have that. And in fact, what's important is that you have a nothing here.
Yeah, let's say G in the first line, GZ.
Okay. Should I start with G or GZ?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but this is a simple stuff. So this, for instance, you it's simple LGA equation from Y, and it has been.
But then, what's the meaning of this phrase? If lambda perpendicular is zero, then GZ is not normalized.
Yes.
Exactly. But GZ doesn't depend on
lambda perpendicular.
You just set epsilon equal to zero and you get it.
I think this is not the full equation.
It's another term, TZ squared minus.
Ah, yes. So, yes. You get lambda
Answer the cost term.
Yes, but
yeah, then G.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I call it gamma. Okay, so it should be then that with GZ. Okay, where GZ is gamma squared.
Yes, now it's good.
Yes, but what is important is that it's minus that here. Okay, so if you start at play without any calculation, you see that GZ was not the one. Now the question is, what can we do with this model? Okay, so what I propose you is to show that this model has an exact solution, and in fact it belongs to the same class of the universality. So it's what I need to do right now. As a candidate model, which means one boson bus only, with only participation here, one boson bus with epsilon equal to 0, which means only dissipation, coupled to the impurity S via an eigenvector. And this is important because we know many things from the Caldera Rigetti model. For instance, that you obtain a quantum depth transition, and one depth transition is of a Cantonese Saarland type. And I will show you what we can say more about this model then. Okay, so how we do that? Even if you are bored with the detail you tell me, and I can start at A, you know if you are completely bored with the detail. So, the Hamiltonian, okay, so let's say that you have a local magnetic field, you have a coupling with fermion, the coupling with boson. So, the fermion Hamiltonian, what I said, you have direct fermions to accept a fermion B, and I will show you that my application is really one dimensional boson bar, so the direct fermion we see. Then you have also the coupling which is stronger, so let's call it at this level G per for the inductor. And then you have this regular boson. So the boson, I will, so now giving the velocity for my boson. I have three bosons in one dimension, it is a static point, and I will show you that it corresponds then to a local action with the epsilon equal to 0. And I note my coupling interaction with the spin, which is stronger, so GZ, I change the little notation for GZ. Now the boson find what we graphite now. So I know the bottom graphite cross. And GZ, I will not square root of 2 kb. So this is GZ more or less. 1/r is my OG.
Okay, so let's start with that.
So this is not the same pi as you had before?
No, I changed. I put it about 5 because yeah. It's really my transmission line and I'm going to use that. And GZ here, it would be 1/2 kb. And also what I want to say that for my application, GZ here, I have a JZ and GZ. JZ equals 0, but I can switch on this JZ. And in fact, it will not change the market, so we see the result. Okay, so the key point is the correlation, what I told you before. You have the atomic bias, so this is equivalent to x0, and the trick is that because you have one Dirac number, you can choose to sort of bosonize those fermions. It's my starting point. So the fermion are black and one is
fermion.
Okay. This is what it wants. And I will tell you why we start soon. If you have a single impurity in the 3D method, normally you can always integrate.
Okay. So it's just a combo on which you have taken one D or the other.
Yes.
If you need another one, SC, the last term, or do you want both the SCs
there? Oh, yes. So, the tricky part is to bosonize the fermion, and then to introduce two bosons. So, this point has been done, for example, previously by Daniel Grantel, and Chinyao. So it was a PL, since it was 2002. And the Jung proposed a sublimity case for boson and large M approach. So this was a sublimity case for the boson. So if you do that, then what you get is that you can write the cheaper term, you can write it exactly in the term like a delta. X equals 0, coupled to the transverse component x plus ht. So delta is this cheaper gap. So delta equals the curve omega c over 2 pi dn, where dn is the Fermi velocity, and omega c is my Fermi frequency, for instance. So it's an ultraviolet frequency. So you can. So then I can write exactly the free part. Exactly like the one on the boson there. So dn over 4 pi, integrated for instance from minus infinity to plus infinity grad pi squared. So this, what's important here, that this big pi now describes the fermion and the charge situation grad pi of the fermion. So this describes the fermion and the boson by the boson. Okay, so now you see we are not too bad because we have an impurity spin which is coupled to a boson 1 and the boson 1. But the bad point is that here the impurity is coupled to S plus and here to S0. So what you can do
then, so at the moment we have a spin capability loss. Then what you can do is first, because you have a local problem, you can write the local action. So we can integrate over all Q. And then what you get is, okay, so let's write this local action on this three part. Yes?
It's all recorded for history, so just it's all recorded for history. So yes. Just keep it.
I have to keep it.
No one likes to feel very stupid, though. It's stupid. So the three parts, you can, integrate again over the momenta or Q variable of the boson and fermion. And what is important now is that the velocity disappears, and this is really the tricky part. So Vf and Vb disappear. This is important because you have a local program. So for the phi mod, so this is for the fermion again. So here you have temperature, finite temperature, sum over mass sub barra, frequency, omega n, and phi, so here it means explicitly phi equals 0. And then you get the same for the boson with the other part. And what is important, if you would like to start with a subatomic bath for the boson, you could do that. And here you would get this minus 1 minus epsilon. But when this guy is 0, it's very nice because you have symmetry between the two baths, so it's simple. But then you could try to make an epsilon expansion and to somehow say something about the proximity to the fixed point. So the first part is to write this local action. Then these two velocities disappear. Now you are almost done, but not completely, because you see you have impurity SZ coupled to this guy, whereas S plus coupled to this guy. So now you want to create a new bosonic field and combining this phi and this phi zero. So what we will do is to rotate, to make a rotation perpendicular to the SZ axis. So what we will do is make a rotation, so you have to absorb. Okay, so let's do a rotation perpendicular to SZ axis, and the angle depends exactly on this variable phi. So the angle is phi over this 2 square root of 3D. Okay, this is the angle. So it depends typically on that. And I can do that because S plus do not commute. Okay, so I will write my unitary transformation. So U, what I do is simply a unitary transformation. So it's exponential. So phi 0, because x equals 0. SZ The important point doing that is that this line will go away, and now you will transform this term here. So what you get is that because here you see you have SZ coupled to this guy, whereas the fermions are coupled with X plus this guy. Okay. Now if you look at these two local actions, they are quite symmetric.
Yes.
So what you would like to do is to somehow recombine these two bosons. But the bad point is that at this level, the two bosons are coupled with different, this is X plus coupled to this guy and SZ. So if you rotate by a certain angle, you can absorb this term, and here, because SZ do not commit with S plus, you will renormalize something here. So what you obtain at the end doing this unitary transformation, you make this guy disappearing, but you get an expression here. And what you get at the end is that local action is one bus. And the new variable phi is a symmetric one which is coupled to the infinity. It depends on the parameter alpha that I will introduce.
Calvin, yes? If you're a rotation in the plane, why do you get rid of the SZ term?
For the commutator of the U with S plus.
Because yes, the commutator U and S plus, you get normally, okay.
The first class just changes the S and the U
that gives you the phi, the continuity. You don't get past 17.
Because when you will write 2H U minus 1, you will get from S plus another from the kinetic parts, right? Which can give you. Okay, because this guy, okay, sorry, I was a little too fast. Phi and grad phi, they do not commute as well. So phi, and let's say grad y, phi y, it's a delta function. Okay, so if I look at this, I also have the kinetic term in real space. So because I did the local action before, but let's see this one. This term here, normally what you get is another term which is exactly of that form, which is with a. So normally they compensate. But it's true that I've done that badly here. But you can write that, I mean, if you read at the format that. No, because I am sorry, I want to make it proper. So I even do not remember the combat, so I feel very.
This is just the same.
0.5. Okay, so this is the first one. You make this guy disappear. And now, from because you still have a S plus which do not commit with. And see what you get is another pi s which appears in the exponential. So it's a little of algebra, okay? But then it becomes very simple. So everything is local. Okay. And if you write this local action for this guy, it's EDL now. So this is local, and minus delta over 2, so it's come from, this delta was a condo coupling of the fermion. In 0, S plus, plus H. So again, this one was proportional to G third. And now what you get is this famous parameter alpha. So alpha here is 1 plus 4kb minus 1. So this was a coupling with the boson. And here you have 1. And this model, so now it's done. You have one bar coupled to one spin, and in fact you can make another unitarian conformation to make occurring the Caldera ligate model. But this is also Caldera ligate model. And especially now you see that you have this parameter alpha, which depends on the coupling with the boson. So you have a Caldera ligate model where alpha for us is written that way. And you can make another transformation, so it's also equivalent. So this is also equivalent, you can still rotate. So I write the Hamiltonian instead of the action, but you can write where this is free boson, so I still rotate this angle. So I will rotate from an angle which is completely this guy, and then I will write the magnetic field, so delta S X, and here I have, so let's free boson. So this is the Caldera ligate model. And what is very interesting is that from a long time, we know that this model is somehow equivalent to the anisotropic condo model. So for instance, if you look at, so for people that do not know, you can write, look at this nice review of Leggett's Fetal Review of Modern Physics. So the main important point is that if you tune the coupling with the boson, you can make a very big parameter alpha, and you can look at the physics which come out. So let's look at the phase diagram versus. So this is the normalized amplitude of the fermion. So delta at the fixed point, let's say versus alpha. So you have like the condo problem. You have some magic line. Here it could be like the anti-fermionic condo phase. So this is like anti-fermionic condo phase. And this is like the ferromagnetic condo phase. So here, the delta will grow, and you will have a screening with the fermion. Oh, it's that. Okay. So let's say you start with delta here, it will grow. So here, the fixed point is Fermi liquid condo problem. Here, the problem is ferromagnetic, so delta can be treated equals to zero. And here, delta can be treated perturbatively at finite temperature. So here, the transition is of the costless soundless type. And here, if you start with a sufficiently strong delta, if you start at alpha here, it will still go here. So somehow what you find at zero temperature, which is here, you find a transition between the condo physics. Suddenly, the condo phase disappear, and then what you get is the screening by the fermion disappear, and still GZ cannot be renormalized, and this is an important point for omni case. So for omni case, GZ here, because you have delta or G perp equals to zero, GZ is a bare GZ which is small, and therefore it's almost the physics is on stream somehow moment. But But you see, it's nice to have this mapping, but the very bad point is that the alpha that we get from the mapping is that. You see that if I start with delta, so the coupling with stereo was very small, let's say. I know that alpha critical was 1 to get from a Kondo versus a permitted phase. So it means that for the Bose Fermi and Kondo model, you can make this mapping. But the bad point is that you have to deal always in the vicinity of the quantum phase transition. So here,
so the point right at horizontal line is 1.
This is delta.
Yes, yes.
And this is alpha.
But I have to put delta equal to 0. So alpha is 1.
Okay, so it means what? It's very simple. Suppose that I have no Kondo coupling with the fermion. This is alpha critical, denote the force of the boson to kill the Kondo effect. So if I have no Kondo effect, I need a very, very small coupling with the boson to be here. So somehow it means that maybe, okay, I need to write that. Alpha critical denote the strength of the boson to destroy Kondo physics. So if I start with delta equals 0, I have no coupling with fermion. So whatever I couple, it means that if I start with a small GZ, whatever GZ, I am on the on-screen part. So somehow the GZ of critical is 0. I am here already. But you see, so it's nice to have this mapping. The bad point is that here I could use a better that or whatever to compute everything. A finite temperature, finite field or whatever, voltage or whatever. The bad point is that with the Bose Fermi you have to be here. And we know that the Kondo model, here you have the nice beta that solution for SP2 case. But as soon as so here we could use a perturbation of serum in this Kondo coupling. But here, if you want to attack an exponent like time, entropy, whatever, you need a more sophisticated method. So what we did is to build an exact numerical RG with the Walker oscillator.
Yes? Should KV have either sign? Could it be either positive or negative? I'm just wondering if you're always on one side or the other.
No, for my applicability, it's only on one side, because it will.
Wouldn't you see this from the initial flow equation already? That there is in this limit no chance to ever go to strong coupling. I mean, initially started off as one which is too marginally irrelevant.
Yes.
And the mapping shouldn't really change much in it. And I think delta is the G thing.
Yes.
And alpha is basically the lambda curve, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so they're marginally irrelevant. So in the end, the system will have to go to a fixed one, which is G equals 0, which was this calculation tells you as well.
Yes. Also an interesting question, but when I will build my applicability, maybe I could think about your question about sign of this.
Okay.
Yes.
Question about time.
Okay, yes. I have to go very fast, that's why
you... Maybe, if you go very fast, then you'll get many questions.
So this is the main point of the theoretical part. Now I want to make applicability in...
if you can quickly summarize basically what's next,
So the nice thing is that we can use this mapping. Now the bottom is that we are here, so what we did is to build an exact numerical energy, and you can compute everything that you wish close to the quantum phase transition from that model. So for instance, what we get is you can have SD the magnetization versus magnetic field at equal zero at finite temperature. But what is interesting for experimentalists and first I want to talk then is that if I have on the condo phase at h equals zero, I know that I have a fermi liquid, we have a linear slope here, then I go to Sz equals 1/2 here, Sz equals minus 1/2 here. Whereas if I approach the quantum state transition, this is like an on-screen spin, so you break the symmetry versus the magnetic field, and at the transition what you get is completely a jump here. And the size of the jump is not exactly one because you have a correction in delta, but definitely it's close to a perfect slope here. So this is at the KT transition. You have this breaking of symmetry here. Also, what we did is to look at chi versus phi. So we found at the quantum critical point, we found exactly a 1 over phi, which is exactly the epsilon going to zero limit of the RGs. We look also at entropy and many things. So you can do that with this exact numerical RG. That's very interesting. Now, what about applicability? Why I look at this model? In fact, I did another paper before on...
Why do you need the bosonization if you could do the exact NRG? Couldn't you have just started with that at the beginning?
If you do, because I do not want to tell you all truth. But the thing is that the fact that you can map on a single bus, first it's... you could tell me I start with the fermionic bus and the bosonic bus. It's true, you have two buses, but we all know that from numerical energy, it's much better to have a unit bus. You could tell me it's boson, so you have to truncate the number of boson states on each side, but this is much more powerful. I mean, in fact, there is a paper by Fontaine-Rosaro with this approach to do energy with the fermion and boson, and our accuracy, I think, is much better with that. And the second point is that we can treat nicely the subatomic case with this representation as well. So...
So by representing it as a single bath, you can do a better...
Yes.
Analogy.
Yes. And not only that, but it explains physically why you have a KT transition for epsilon equals zero. When we all wrote a paper a few years ago on this model, people really did not know that it was a KT transition. It was based on RG, okay, but you could say it's not for sure. So I think this approach really makes a connection with nice different model. And you can, for instance, it's what I'm doing right now, based on this model, you can try to look at this epsilon expansion, so, and see what it could give on that fixed point. Okay, but for the applicability, so why I look at this model? So, in fact, it's what applicability to what I call noisy, mesoscopic fluid. So let's assume, so this is applicability to a mesoscopic fluid. So you have a quorum dot. So a quorum dot is a small island made, for instance, in a gallium arsenide heterostructure. And the good point is that you can control the number of particles which come in via gate voltage, for example. This is a capacitive coupling. So what is important is that the Hamiltonian for this quantum dot is driven by your electrostatic energy. So you have the charge, which is EC, which is the energy to add an electron on the quantum dot. N is a mean number of electrons here, and Ng here is a mean number of holes that you put on your pack date here. So you have QG equals CG VG. Okay, and now what is interesting, if I couple my quantum dot slightly to a reservoir of, for instance, electron, normally you can do that by applying some gate and quantum contact, so the motion here of electron is one-dimensional. Here you have, so here you have a fermionic bus, and if it's slightly coupled, so T is a hopping with the quantum dot, if T is much smaller than 1, what you get is that to just minimize this term here, what you get is that the mean number of electrons on dot versus Ng, which is a gate voltage, you get some staircase behavior. So it means that the number of particles which enter is 1, and then because it costs too much, because you have a small system, so here you pass from n equals 0 to n equals 1, but then to put another particle, you need to change, to tune the Ng again. So let's assume that we are close to this, Vg is close to that point. Here, the two states, n equals 0 and n equals 1, they have the same energy. So I can think about this quantum dot as a two-level charge system. It's important that it charges. Then, rapidly, what you can write is that close to that point, so if I have n equals 0, I have this charge equals 0. If you put n equals 1, you can easily get. The important point is that close to that point, you can write this charge like an effective magnetic field. Why? Because you can think about the charge 2 equals 0 like a spin down state, 2 equals 1 like spin up state, so 2 would be Sz plus 1 half. And you can write exactly for the two state problem the charging energy like an effective magnetic field, where A just measures the deviation from that point. So it's more or less 2 Pc, 1 half minus Sg. So the important point is that here the magnetic field is played by the gate voltage. Okay, now we are almost done. The coupling with fermion. The coupling with fermion. Okay, let's assume that we have a grain which is larger with a denser, with a lot of level, so it's not lot of level. It's like a metallic top with a lot of some over many level K. Now you can write the opening term T. Let's assume first that we have a spinless electron, so you have a stronger real magnetic field. So you have an electron which hops from lip to dot. So L is lip, grain. What has been shown a long time ago by the, for instance, Kostia and Magriev. So this is a long time ago in 91 and many other people. The important thing is that if you opt from lead to dot close to that point, the charge can only change from 0 to 1. So the important point is that this acts on the state of, let's say, grain and lead, and now you can put another state which is a charge onto the grain. So each time you make an electron open, it flips the charge. So it's like S plus operator, which I can do QG. And this is only true because you are close to this, this magic point. And then, this is like a condo problem, but a condo which acts not on, on a spin space. Now you can see the location L and G, like spin up and spin down of conduction or electron. So this is like my converse condo coupling. And so G per field is really the tunneling amplitude from dot to me. And now the last part, there are some nice heterostructure where you can, people in the, for instance, like the John Clark group in Berkeley, they can do very nice things. They can, for instance, put two GIS layers. So this is gallium arsenide. This is aluminium gallium arsenide. So you form the 2D electron gas, let's say here, close to this interface. So here you have your electron gas. Thin layer here. Then what you can do is to draw the column dot, putting some gate here. So you draw the column dot. Then you can play with a different layer of GIS. So now you have another 2D electron gas. And you can change the density of this 2D electron gas. This layer is just a capacitively coupled to this other layer. So now if you change the density, you can reach a regime where you are close to a linear crystal. Assuming that you still have some acoustic phonons, that you could realize is this other layer could form an acoustic phonon, so it would be somehow here 2D boson mode, capacitively coupled to the dot. So that's okay, my opinion. So what I look like the other term, so this is an example. So here, in all what people did before, NG is a fixed parameter. But if you somehow you have a coupling with a resistive system, you can make this VG a fluctuating, and the fluctuation of VG are somehow related to this acoustic phonon. So this is an example, but you could simply imagine that you have a transmission line. So the transmission line could be, for instance, a Josephson junction array. It could be many things, a Roentgen liquid, whatever, which has phonon. And what I did is simply to add a term where the charge of my dot Q is Sz coupled to this extra occupating the potential. If this come from a transmission line, you can have a microscopic derivation of that versus the boson. So it can be always right in terms of boson situation, like my grad phi before. At x equals 0, somehow here is the quantum dot location, and this is precisely the model that I looked before. Experimentally, for instance, you can control the parameter alpha. Yes. Okay. So sorry, I finished. Okay.
Questions?
If I have an ordinary Coulomb interaction between the lead and the G,
charge in the condo.
Yes.
Wouldn't this give me a JZ condo interaction using the spin language, which would be anti-ferromagnetic, and I could go on the other side of the critical point?
When I have the usual quantum program,
yes.
I told you that the whole thing give me the transverse.
Understood.
And that the usual Coulomb is just a magnetic.
The condo direction between the lead and the.
Oh, you mean you want to have a capacitive coupling here?
Yes, correct.
But the problem is that this is a metallic lead. Okay, this is an important point. To see some effect, you need to be. You have to compare this critical sort of resistance, which is a quantum of the resistance in the cell. And it means that it's all the few kilo ohms, like 30, or if you have spinless electrons, 30 kilo ohms. If I take a normal lead, I am not sure which is very liquid, there is no way to tune this sort of resistance. So you need something close to a solid phase, like what they can do experimentally.
Okay.
In lower density
than
but that's a good point.
Uh-huh. Well, it's just hard to do it, right? It's
yes.
Just that hard, it's not impossible, it's just hard to do it.
Yes, but okay, so the transition, which is alpha critical equal one, you could never reach
right.
This point. So you would see.
So I didn't quite understand, does this mean that you cannot have a Coulomb interaction between the lead and the dot?
Oh, you can,
yeah.
But it will not change the condo at fixed point. Simply because the so-called resistance, I mean, of the lead here is not larger enough to. Okay, what I want to say is that you have two phases versus alpha critical.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha is one plus a certain resistance versus Rk, where Rk is this big guy here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the so-called resistance of some leads. If I put these leads, R is much smaller than Rk.
But alpha in the condo language is just Jz, right?
Yes.
In the anisotropic condo
yes.
language.
Yes.
So if I could add
yes.
a strong anti-ferromagnetic
yes.
Jz to the carbon by
yes,
hand,
exactly.
I could choose
exactly.
in addition to that term.
Yes.
And I'm just saying, if I have a term alpha lead, dega alpha lead, minus alpha lead, dega alpha lead.
It's never there. That's the point. It's never there. Because it's not a physical term.
Because, I see.
It's a term which would be to couple the charge
yes.
to something which is lead minus
no, alpha. Because they just couldn't buy it.
But it's a very good point. Okay. So it's could be a term,
yeah, yeah.
And this charge coupled to with a minus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I would rather be charged if I had a charge on the lead on the dot.
Yes.
I would rather to put this another charge on the gate and on the grain and not on the lead. That's what that was the physics is, right?
Yeah, but this is a
yes.
prime bias.
So, no, it's not
this
private bias, because
the
bias would be
private.
Good. Thank you.